Hey, good people. This is Working Title, presented to you by Soul. We are your hosts. I am Nick.
And I'm Robbie.
Today, we will be discussing the topic of dating violence among lesbians. This topic can be pretty heavy, and I think that it's definitely something that's either minimized or just not talked about, right? Like, it's swept under the rug. Because how many people actually talk about lesbian relationships, period? So, today, I just wanted to just combat some of the myths that are said about violence, domestic violence among lesbian partnerships. One, a lot of people always think that the masculine presenting partner is the aggressor. And the second one is also that because it's an egalitarian relationship, two women, that it's not possible. Like, domestic violence is not possible.
Right.
You know, it's just an argument. It's a little spat. It's not a big deal.
The more I started to, like, really open my eyes to things, I started to realize that this is a problem in our community. And I remember maybe two summers ago, I was in Brooklyn, and I saw these young girls. There was, like, three of them, three young black girls, and they were probably no more than 17 years old. And so one was screaming at the top of her lungs to the girlfriend. And the reason why I knew they were partners is because I heard them from when they were at the top of the block. And I heard them the whole way down. And there was one that was more masculine presenting that was talking to her girlfriend, and it was a friend that was with them. And she was just saying, you know, you're stupid, and I should never trust you, and blah, blah, blah. Like, we should never got back together. Just having an argument about something. But then when she passed by the house that I was standing in front of, she hit the girl in the face. The masculine presenting one hit the other girl in the face and, like, hit her twice. And it was almost like I was in shock because I was like, did she just hit her in the face, like, smack her? But it was also shocking to see that that really didn't mean much to them because they just continued walking. The friend didn't say anything. She just kept checking her phone. The girlfriend wasn't saying anything. She just continued walking. She didn't even, like, say, oh, I'm going home, or, oh, you hit. It was almost like
it was normal.
It's normal. I did an article for Soul on the reporting of violent crimes against lesbians and how just the lack of respect is there and just a lack of presence in reporting and visibility. And when law enforcement comes, it's kind of like, you know, we kind of don't care sort of attitude. And so I feel it starts with us as a community, as a black lesbian community, taking it seriously and really seeing it as an offense or as offensive as a man hitting a woman.
Right. And both ways, too. Not if it's just a masculine presenting woman being the aggressor, but also the feminine presenting woman, you know, pushing, shoving, talking greasy, right? Just talking down to a person. You have verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, even sexual abuse. There are a lot of ways that you can abuse another person. And a lot of times we minimize everything except for the physical. Because physical leaves some physical evidence. We can see it. We can hear it. In a sense, you know, you could be sent to the hospital. People are enduring a lot of trauma. People are unable to engage in healthy relationships, friendships, because of the abuse that they have suffered in a domestic partnership. So there are a lot of things that suffer because of that. Your career, your creativity, just your ability to be able to choose for yourself. If you have a dominating partner, just to be able to make simple choices on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we don't get those warning signs about, oh, this is a little abusive, right? So maybe we don't say abusive, maybe we say controlling.
Yeah.
And those things are red flags. And definitely be fully present and looking at your potential partner before you engage in a full, long relationship. And I don't care how many of the great qualities they have, if they are violent with themselves, violent with others, they will likely be violent with you, right? So be very observant and intentional about who you decide to partner with. We have a guest who is actually going to talk a little bit about her experience with dating violence and lesbian partnership. So we're going to segue into that.
Advocate had put out a study where they found that 35.4% of lesbian identified women living in same sex cohabitation experience violence, mm-hmm. as opposed to 20.4%.
Yeah.
Living with opposite sex partners. So for me, I look at that, wow, that's a low number altogether, right? Just overall. But then I think about that, who reports domestic violence, you know, people usually don't. However, our stats are significantly higher than our hetero counterparts. What are your thoughts and views on it?
I think that our stats are higher mainly because we are same sex, and it's kind of like, I wouldn't necessarily like try to fight a man, but if it's another woman, then it's like, yeah, let's do this. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we are the same sex. I do think that we are, our statistics are underreported due to the fact that we are same sex, and I feel like no one would take it seriously. And if, say, we do report it, then they necessarily wouldn't report it as domestic violence because they wouldn't necessarily see us as, you know, in a relationship.
That's definitely. And there was an article, CBS News had written an article about a lesbian couple that was murdered in a home invasion robbery right before Christmas. And in the article, they put, they reported them as lovers, like, this is so-and-so and her lover. And I just thought that was
minimizing.
So it's minimizing, and it's disrespectful, and it's the way, and it goes to your point of how, if something happens between two women, they try to disregard the relationship aspect.
Absolutely. I agree. Like I said, it's like, they don't take our relationship seriously. They don't like want to believe that we can truly be in a relationship with another woman and actually love another woman.
Right. So in your experience in your relationship that you had told us about earlier, when was it that you first realized that, this is an abusive relationship? Was it right away, or was it just like, was it something that had to like dawn on you after a little while?
I didn't realize I was in an abusive relationship until January of this year. And honestly, it still didn't hit me until I was writing you all the email. And I was reading what I was saying, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, what was I a part of? And how could I have let myself be a part of that for so long? When I was in the middle of it, it didn't feel like it. I was like, okay, well, this is just how she shows love. And, you know, because I have my own anger problems as well, and I know that I still loved her. So I was like, okay, well, you know, she just gets angry sometimes, but I know that she loves me. So when I was in the middle of it, it didn't register me that I was in an abusive relationship. You know, I had my friends and my family and my therapist saying, you know, this is not a healthy relationship the entire time that I was dealing with her, but I didn't want to believe it. I wanted to believe that, you know, things could be different.
Right. How many times did you have to contact law enforcement?
Well, there was only one time law enforcement was contacted, and it was not because of me. I told you in my email the story about what happened on my birthday. That's when law enforcement was contacted. They were contacted by the hotel manager. But every time we got into, like, a physical altercation, I didn't think to call the police. I didn't want to get her in trouble. Even when the hotel called the police, I didn't press charges. They were the ones that pressed charges for her fighting the older man. And the police, of course, pressed charges for her resisting arrest. They kept asking me, you know, do you want to press charges? And I said no, because I didn't want her to get in trouble.
Why do you think that is? Not that you have to want to get somebody in trouble, but why do you think that it would have been a bad idea for it to, you know, or I guess to be punished for the behavior?
Well, in the moment, I was trying to consider her future. I didn't want anything bad on her record that prevent her from, you know, doing whatever she wanted to do in her life. And I was blinded by what I call love. Cause I truly felt like I was in love with her, and I didn't want to get someone I'm in love with and have worked so hard to have a relationship with in trouble. In hindsight, I most definitely should have called the police more often than I did. When I was in the moment, I just didn't.
You had mentioned earlier, you touched upon a myth, just about lesbian relationships, of how, because it's considered equal, like it's two women, like, you know, go for it, mm-hmm. right? If we are in a heterosexual relationship, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to fight you, bro. But it's like, you're a woman. It's kind of this idea that maybe I can take you.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some other myths that you think exist in regards to violence among lesbian partnerships?
Oh, yeah. Well, just off top, that women probably wouldn't get in a fight. I know when I was a young gay, I didn't necessarily, when I thought about domestic violence, I automatically thought about a man and a woman. And I was like, two women together, we're not going to be out here, you know, necking and bucking, scrapping, none of that or whatever like that. And I had never heard about it. So I was like, okay, so that doesn't happen in lesbian relationships. I think people don't understand how severe it can get. I literally almost died. So you hear about lesbian domestic violence and you're like, oh, well, maybe they were just, you know, pulling hair and scratching and shit like that. But no, it gets like nitty gritty and like full out boxing and, you know, things like that. Very violent, very, very violent. I don't think people understand, like I said, how violent it can get.
And was this your first experience with a domestic violence situation?
I definitely had been in a verbally abusive relationship prior to this. She was my first girlfriend. That whole situation was like so crazy because she had another girlfriend. Like, I lived in South Carolina and she lived in North Carolina, and she would come down here and I would be her girlfriend, and then she would go back up there and have her other girlfriend, but we would still like talk and, you know, all these different things like that. But just like after a while, she started getting really, really mean to me and like saying all these horrible things, telling me I wasn't shit, wasn't worth it, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know, just one day I just couldn't take it anymore and I stopped answering her calls. It was like a light switched on. But like that kind of, it definitely affected me in the way that I moved in my, you know, relationships after that, as far as like what I would take and what I was like used to, in the sense that I feel like I'm a glutton for punishment. So I tend to get with people who aren't necessarily the best for me, aren't nice to me, and don't treat me right. So
when we view domestic violence, like, we see that abuse is not so much about the violence, but more so about control. What have you gained control over?
Oh my gosh, everything in my entire life. I don't have to have my location on my phone. I can wake up when I want to. I can go to sleep when I want to. I can post whatever I want on my social media. I can talk to whoever I want to for however long. I can go and visit my best friend and not get cussed out the whole way up there and the whole way back. I don't feel pressured to have to go and see anybody. Like, it's just like small things that people would never really truly think about. I don't have to like panic about not calling somebody at lunch because I'm working over through lunch, or like I took a nap at lunch or something like that, and getting cussed out and getting screamed at. And oh gosh, I didn't realize, like, it feels like a breath of fresh air. I don't feel that pressure anymore. I don't feel that weight anymore. This is the longest I've probably ever been single. Like, I go from relationship to relationship, and I decided this time around, you know, things are going to be different.
So what I hear is that now you have control over your choices and your emotions.
It took me a while to get here. I'm not even going to lie. When I met her 6 years ago, it wasn't like a serious relationship until about 2 years ago. So it was 2 years of pretty much chaos and hell. I mean, there were happy times, of course, but things got really bad.
So if you were to give advice to your younger self, or even to a listener, that may be right at the turning point where they can say yes to this relationship or no, what would your advice be?
I would say, think about the person you're in a relationship. And when you think about that person, how do you feel? Or whenever you're talking to them, interacting with them, how do you feel? If you feel really good inside, if you feel happy, you know, glad that they're on the phone, not dreading their phone calls and stuff like that, then it's worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. But if you dread their phone calls, you don't want to go and see them, you don't know what's going to happen when you're together, you have to leave. You have to let the situation go. And I know it's easier said than done. Trust me, I know it's easier said than done. But for your own mental, physical, emotional well-being, you have to leave the situation. And even if you, like in the other situation where, you know, I said, you know, it would be worth fighting for, that's only if the other person can recognize their behaviors and are willing to actively work towards changing them.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And then another thing that a lot of us don't realize when we're in these relationships is that it's not love. A lot of people think, okay, well, if there's controversy, if there's chaos, if the person is fighting for me or possessive, then that means that they love me. But really, it's insecurity. Insecurity, which is based off of fear, and that's not the type of love that you want. You want someone who is going to show their love by nurturing you and protecting you, and not by just trying to control you.
Right.
And it's hard to be like I've never been in like a physically abusive relationship, but I have been in a verbal abusive relationship before in my past. And it's like you said, it's really hard to kind of realize that you're in it because you identify with some of the things that they're saying, I guess. And you kind of say, well, maybe they are right about this and that, or maybe, you know, maybe I should change this or change that, or maybe this is, you know, normal. And so it's definitely great that you were able to just finally say, you know, this shit is not worth it, and really move on. A lot of people don't.
Love is supposed to feel good. You're supposed to, I mean, of course, you'll have your arguments here and there, but it shouldn't be like a daily thing. And you shouldn't dread talking to the person that you say that you're in love with. So, you know, you all hit everything, you know, nail on the head. That's true.
And so we just want to thank you, Courtney, for joining us for our segment based on dating violence. It's an important topic, and right. It's a difficult topic to discuss. Going through it firsthand, or even witnessing a loved one go through it. So it's a topic that you, it's hard to swallow sometimes, but it's definitely necessary. So we thank you just for sharing your story.
I really appreciate it. I thank you all for letting me share my experience. And, you know, hopefully if there's anyone, you know, listening that's in a abusive situation, you know, maybe I help just a little bit.
Dating violence is definitely an issue that we need to keep the conversation going and have an honest and open conversation about it. We have to be vigilant and mindful about what's happening to us or to people that we see around us.
We accept the relationships that we believe we deserve. So anytime you are tolerating a relationship that has violence in it, we have to check our belief system about ourselves. What do we think we deserve? And you have to know, like, no matter what you go through, you're worth, you know, the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? So there is no way that this is okay. You are not meant to continuously endure this. I definitely think that some of our experiences that bring us pain are some of our greatest lessons, and it's ways that we can help other people overcome. However, we are not meant to be gluttons for punishment. So definitely make sure that as soon as you notice the signs and you notice it's a problem, that you remove yourself and you work on your healing. And another thing, maybe you're not the one in an abusive relationship, but maybe you have a friend that's abusive with their partner. Be able to say to that friend, you know, yo, like, that's not okay. Like, it's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you grabbing your girlfriend like that at the club? You know, you don't think that's a little... So be able to check it on that end, because it's way more difficult to have those conversations with a partner when you are the two in a situation. However, sometimes the friends, the family members on the outside need to step in and say something and give a word to the wise.
Thank you for tuning into Working Title, brought to you by Soul, connecting, educating, and inspiring the Black LGBT community. Join us for the next segment on Partner Patterns.
This is Nick.
And Robbie.
Signing out.